Greetings and glad tidings to you in the Lord. I am Minister Rodney. We are the Way Christian Discipleship, and we welcome you. We welcome you to our live Spreaker.com audio podcast, where I, Minister Rodney, will share the wisdom and the revelation of Christ Jesus to build up the body of believers and strengthen us as we take our stand for the gospel of Christ Jesus. Tonight's episode is titled, Do Not Be Surprised, and I pray that God give you spiritual eyes that you see the things that are in the gospel to help you grow in your walk and fill you with the power and knowledge of Christ. I pray that you have spiritual ears, that you hear the wisdom that is hidden within God's word, the secret wisdom that saves your soul and gives you hope for salvation. Do not be surprised. Do not be surprised. As it is in Christianity, we understand that Jesus walked that displayed to us and gave us an example of the trials and the troubles and the tribulations that will come upon everybody that claims the name of Jesus Christ. Today's message is for those who truly do carry out the task of walking in righteousness. We understand that it's not easy. If it were easy, I suppose everybody would be a Christian in line for a mansion in heaven. But as it is, Scripture says, narrow is the gate that leads to salvation. Broad is the road to destruction, and many will find it. But we are those who are seeking entrance to those pearly gates, not by chance, but by faith. It's not a lottery. There'll be no drawing. There'll be no special elect people, as many have been led to believe. But it'll be those who have accepted the grace, the opportunity of salvation that was given by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those will be the elect. Those will be the ones who have picked up their cross and actually followed Christ Jesus home to heaven. In 1 Peter, in the book of 1 Peter, Chapter 1, verse 3 through 9, it says, Praise be to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, we greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have to suffer grief of all kinds. These trials come so that your faith be proven genuine, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, that it results in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. And though we have not seen him, we love him. And even though we do not see him now, we believe in him. And we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Well, first, verse 9 is important. For we are receiving the end result of our faith, the salvation of our souls. The goal of our faith is salvation. That is goal one, and it is the only goal. Now, are there other benefits to seeking salvation through Christ? Absolutely. In Matthew 6:33, it says, Seek ye first, and all these things will be given to you. So God is a wonderful provider in that he knows our needs. And along our walk, along our Christian walk, as we seek out salvation with fear and trembling, God will give you things that we need. Not all the things that we want, but he's a marvelous provider, so he meets our needs before we know we have them. So we need not worry. Though we suffer, we need not worry. We do not show fear or shrink back, for we understand that our Father is a good dad, that he's going to give us everything we need for this trip, this journey, this trek through darkness, through dangerous territories. He said he'd send a helper. He said he would not leave us nor forsake us. But the goal is salvation. The goal is not relationships. The goal is not money. The goal is not property. The goal is not friends, family. The goal is salvation. It's goal one, and it's the only goal. There's not a 1A and a 1B. It is strictly salvation. So we need to understand that. That the goal of our troubles and the trials and the suffering is salvation, which far outweighs them all. And just as precious metals are set through a process of fire to purify, we should expect these fiery trials. Trusting, not wavering. Do not be surprised. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, it says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, that you might be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. And if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are truly blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer, a thief, or any kind of criminal, or a meddler. But however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and sinner? So then those of us who suffer according to God's will should commit ourselves to our faithful Creator and continue to do good." And again, that's 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 through 19. Do not be surprised. Oftentimes, more times than I care to admit, I interact with Christians who are stunned, shocked, surprised by the trials and the troubles that come their way. They can't believe that they lost their job because of their faith, that they were persecuted. They can't believe that relationships have ended badly because of their faith. They can't believe that family members have turned on them because of their diligence and steadfast commitment to their faith. They're shocked, depressed. They are thrown off course because they're not prepared for that which we should be prepared for, that which scripture after scripture reminds us to expect. Many have lost their salvation and fall away from grace because they're shocked and surprised and knocked for a loop when these trials come. These trials that are well documented. These trials that Christ Jesus went through. Although as if something strange has happened to them. They all know what Jesus went through. Thus they became Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. But for some reason, when they are confronted with troubles and trials and persecution, just as Christ, they fade. They shrink back. They fall apart. Do not be surprised. Now, in this world, Christian or non-Christian, there will be suffering. So all suffering isn't because of your righteousness. Many suffer because of their wrong, not because of their right. But yet they claim it as holy. They make bad decisions in their lives. They do things of their flesh. They get them into trouble. Then they claim it as righteousness. They blame God for their mess. So they expect God to get them out of their mess. But we're talking about the troubles and the trials, tribulations and persecution that come because of obedience to Christ. Those are the jams that God gets in there with you. And he'll get you out. He'll get in a fiery furnace with you, and he'll walk out with you. But but those are the situations that come about because of our obedience and not because of our disobedience. God will not have a hand in your disobedience. But the good news is that even when you get in trouble because of your disobedience, you can call upon Him with a sincere heart. And out of grace, He'll pull you from that trouble. He'll pull you from those fires. But just as the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, go and sin no more. For grace is not a license to sin, but it's a license to serve. And no servant is above his master. So if they persecuted him, they're going to persecute you. John chapter 15, verse 18 through 25 says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of this world. And that is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. And if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else would do, they would not be guilty of sin. But as it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. And this is to fulfill what was written in their law. They hated me without reason. This is Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, He who we claim, the standard of our faith. And He tells you that you will be hated, that you don't belong to the world, that you are a rejected stone, that we are children of light, and men hate light, they love darkness. So when we shine our light of truth, they get offended. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is stoned to death because he told the truth. And they killed him because of the truth. Our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, was crucified because of the truth. So anyone who claims the name of Christ Jesus walks in truth. In a dark world, we are lights. And the world hates being exposed. Men love darkness. So do not be surprised when you shine a bright light in the face of one who loves the darkness, the reaction that you get. Do not be surprised. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul is perplexed because the very people that once showed him an abundance of love now suddenly hate him because of the truth he shares with them, because he exhorts them and rebukes them and teaches them in all righteousness. Their attitudes have changed. You'll experience this, not just with those who don't believe, blatantly don't believe in Christ our Lord, but those who claim Christianity. And they embrace you, and they love you. That is until you share your truth. That is until they realize that you don't just go along with the acts of religion, but you are a true believer. And you actually believe that you should walk out your faith. That's not a matter of words, but power. Then they want to kick you out of their fellowship. They want to kick you out of their synagogues, as Scripture says. Remember, they called Jesus a drunkard. They said our Lord and Savior was demon-possessed because His truth didn't match up with their lie. Isaiah 66:5 says, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your own people who hate you will exclude you because of my name. They have said, let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy, yet they will be put to shame. They will exclude you and alienate you and ostracize you because what they think is their truth doesn't match up with what you know is the truth. You don't go along with their brain dead games. You don't submit to their religious rule, but you submit to the word of God. And it puts you on the outs, a rejected stone. Do not be surprised. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 says, you'll be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Again, this everyone that's going to hate you is not just outside of the church. But those inside of the church will hate you as well if you stand for the truth, if you stand by God's word, if you call it what it is, if you refuse to compromise, if you hold fast to God's word and truth, you'll be hated by everybody. Proverbs 29:27 says, the righteous detest the dishonest, and the wicked detest the upright. It's night and day. And the dishonest would be those that don't hold to God's word completely. Those who water down God's word. Who soften the truth. Who say peace, peace when there is no peace. It's dishonest. They've let go of the truth and fallen for the lie. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 18, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And the Spirit that you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive has brought about the adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs to God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. Verse 8:18, Romans. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. So, it is extremely clear and evident that suffering is a prerequisite before salvation. Suffering is a prerequisite in the process of being made righteous and holy. That suffering is not optional. But suffering is optimal if we are to gain salvation. It says that those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. That we have been made free by that Spirit and we are no longer slaves to fear. Fear is the number one weapon, the number one tool of the evil one. He counts on us being scared. He counts on us shrinking back out of fear. But with the Spirit, we understand that there is no fear required. We do not fear them. They can kill the body, then after that can do no more. But we fear him who can toss our souls into condemnation forever. Those who fear not are dangerous to the devil. So of course you'll be persecuted. Of course the devil is going to aim his attacks and traps and snares in your direction. But Jesus said, take hold, for I have overcome the world. The devil has already been defeated. So if we understand that we already have the victory, then we walk in victory, and we're not scared. We're not fearful, but we're confident. We understand that to live is Christ and to die is gain. So if we're here, then we do the work of an evangelist in being poured out and testifying and shining the light of righteousness in this dark world that men might be freed from captivity to fear. And if we die as a Christian, we understand that we have made our goal, we have reached our goal, as we spoke about at the beginning of the podcast. The goal of Christianity is salvation. So it's a win-win proposition for us that have the Spirit, for us that are not scared. Do not be surprised, but be prepared. Do not be surprised. Now I understand that this message is a deep message. I understand that this message has probably provoked some feelings and thoughts. And that's good. That is the purpose of my anointing, of anyone who's anointed, is to stir up wholesome thinking, to shake up our faith, that we not sit around idly professing Christianity. For the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of words, but it comes with power. And power changes things. So we don't just sit back and hope and pray for salvation, but we have a faith that is active. A faith that can tear down strongholds and break chains of oppression. Do not be surprised. But it's time for you to take an active role in your salvation. To no longer be lulled asleep by religiosity and fear. It's time to grow into your salvation. It's time to have your feet shod in the gospel. Put on your helmet of salvation. Grab your shield and your sword, your belt buckle of truth. And stand up and proclaim the glory that is in Christ Jesus. Do not be surprised. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters. This is going to wrap up tonight's podcast. Thank you for joining us for our live Spreaker.com audio podcast. Do not be surprised. Thank you for your time and for your fellowship. And I pray that this word truly set deep into your souls. That we have sparked a flame and that you fan the flames of your faith. So with one mind, one heart, one soul, and one love, we stand and glorify our Father in heaven. This is The Way Christian Discipleship. I'm Minister Rodney. Thank you for your time. And I pray that you check us out on thewaychristiandiscipleship.org. Drop us a line, request at thewaycd@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Give us a call on our 24-hour help and prayer line, 774-213-1350. 774-213-1350. Until next time, may your peace be like a river, and your hope well up to salvation.